Hey everybody, and welcome to the 20th episode of the 4th season of Press X to Start. Yes, you heard it. It's episode 420.
Smoke weed every day.
First, before I go into my whole tirade, I want to extend support to the city of Minneapolis right now. As you know, we are a podcast that is led by 6 black men. DJ so eloquently put up on our Instagram story the other day how we feel on the situation, so we won't go into it too in depth here, but we want to say the Black Lives Matter, stop killing us, fuck 12. Now!
Hell yeah.
Press X is a weekly gaming podcast about inclusivity and its place in gaming. Games are for everyone, and we here at Press X hope to break down the walls of exclusivity with our discussions on news, reviews, and all things video games. I'm your host, your heavyweight champion from Wishanigawood, California, a.k.a. the janitor because I'll be watching niggas, a.k.a. I said what I said earlier. Marcus Ellison.
I am Sean M.F. Ross.
What M.F. stand for?
Mean-spirited faith.
Ooh. What?
Wait.
I don't know.
You know, actually, it's been 4 seasons. You know, you had a lot of these.
They're not all going to be gold.
I am DJ, aka Sexy Bad Choices, aka Did You Know? Well, actually, there is no Did You Know today. Everyone, go support your brothers and sisters. Word. And donate to help people because it needs to happen. Go wherever you can. I'm not going to throw up one thing. Just Google it and.
Yeah, for real.
That's it.
Every non-black person, do your research, do your Googles. Find out where you can donate or support.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do. We all have computers on our person at all times.
Yep. And Venmo. We all have Venmo.
That's true. Or PayPal, Cash App, whatever you want. Right. OnlyFans. But, but with that being said, now we're going to go into what we've been playing. And DJ, start us off.
So, last week, I believe I mentioned Assassin's Creed was my quarantine game.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's been exactly a week, and I'm now bored of Assassin's Creed. So
I knew this would happen. I knew it.
Oh, man.
You tired of climbing around like a monkey?
Yeah. I was playing one mission, and I stealthed the mission. No. I was stealthing the mission, and then I literally just stood up from the bushes and I'm just like, come to me, everyone. I want all of the smoke right now.
I'm tired of hiding. You know what?
DJ would be the worst covert operative ever.
Oh my gosh. It was by far the funniest thing that I have like done in a game where it's just like, I'm not.
And let me guess, you didn't record this shit, did you, bitch?
I was going to say the same thing, Sean.
Cut his mic.
Because the thing is,
I don't want to hear no more of this story, DJ. I don't want to hear no more of it. Nah, go ahead.
But it was more so my reaction versus the actual game itself, which made it funny. Because in the game, my character just stood up and just started slashing.
Meanwhile, DJ's on the other side cracking up.
Yep.
Sometimes
that
should be funny.
But other than that, it's been the normal Gundam, Animal Crossing, and Catan. I mentioned that a couple podcasts ago before, and I've actually evolved, and I got Catan for the iPad.
Catan.
So I play that now.
This guy.
Yeah. Catan.
But that's pretty much it.
Use your Catan stone. Right. So you couldn't leave the crack at home. You had to bring it with you.
Exactly.
Well, technically you can't leave the home with your crack, but who's next? Me?
Yep.
Yeah.
I've been playing Apex. I have this weird thing where every time I'll start, I'll win a match, and then it's just like downhill from there.
Yep.
Wait, well, let's pause real quick. Let's just appreciate how happy Sean is now to have a haircut.
Oh, yeah, for real. For real. Sean is a new man.
Yeah.
That man's lineup is crisp.
He is glowing right now.
Fuck y'all. Sean, I'm calendar ready.
Sean look fresh out of prison.
Holy shit. Oh my God.
Now, on the real, I ain't had a haircut since January, bro.
Oh, damn.
That's abnormal for me. I normally go like every 2 weeks. So.
Sean no longer looks like my uncle.
Oh, shit. Shut up. So, normally, the first game of the day on Apex, I'll normally win the match. And then it's like all downhill from there. I might win like one or two matches because like, I just get to ask teammates. But
right.
I've been playing that. And then I played a little bit more of that Zombie Army Dead War 4 on the Stadia. Ooh. I really, really want to like the Stadia, but I don't know if it's my connection or there's something I got to check, but whether I'm playing on mobile, on the PC, or on the Chromecast Ultra, it feels like there's this delay. Now, I don't know if it's the specific games I'm playing. Mm-hmm. Like, Destiny has this weird ramping up delay, like when I'm turning around and aiming.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm experiencing the same thing in the Zombie Army 4.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I should be hitting crisp headshots, but I'm not. I'm, like, wasting ammo. And it's frustrating.
That's interesting.
And I can't help but feel... Like, I mean, I played Sniper Elite 4 on the PS4. But I can't help but feeling like it's the Stadia. It's, you know, I feel like I'd be having a better time playing this game on a different system.
Yeah.
Got you.
But,
well?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it, though. They've just started throwing... I mean, technically, zombies are already dead, but kamikaze zombies with bombs strapped to their chest. So,
when they blow up, they actually come alive.
Make that what you will of it. But, I mean, I really want to get to this game, but I don't know if I can with this strange lag. Maybe I got to experiment with other games.
Yeah, that's so weird.
I mean, yeah, people are saying that maybe... There'll be an uptick this year because all the new systems are coming out and hopefully people won't want to invest in like the PlayStation 5 or the Xbox Series X. Mm. But I don't see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see it. And I can't see Amazon shit going any better either.
Bruh, right. Like Stadia had one job and they fumbled the bag so profoundly.
So, I mean,
yeah,
that's that for me.
All right. And what I've been playing... I've been playing Overwatch pretty much all week. When I've played anything, it's really been Overwatch. I would actually try to get on to Persona and play that, and then I would get an invite from somebody to play Overwatch. And I'm like, well, I was like a CJ. I was like, oh, shit, here we go again.
You're right.
And, just like Sean said about Apex, I would find myself, you know, it's always one way or another. Either you start out horrible and then just reverse momentum hits you and you start going on a hot streak, or you start out pretty strong and then you start getting washed until you just have to say, all right, guys, I'm calling it a night.
I've died enough for tonight.
Exactly. Like, I've had my ego shredded down too much. I need to stop doing this before I walk outside in front of oncoming traffic.
Oh, God.
Let Corona take me.
Exactly. Let the virus take me. I mean, the only notable thing I want to bring up is that a couple days ago, I was on with Annie, Larissa, and Avery, and Annie ended up getting off a little early, and so it was just Avery, Larissa, and I, and we stumbled on into 3-on-3 elimination matches, and we ended up playing until 3 a.m.
Okay.
Wow.
And it was just a grab bag of madness, because we went into the 3-on-3 after a streak of just L's. Like, we were just getting trashed in quick play. And then...
Well, let me just jump in this dumpster here instead.
Exactly.
Right.
we transfer ourselves from the garbage can to the recycling. And then we were getting trashed in elimination, and then we just sort of started to figure it out, and Avery started applying Apex tactics to the three of us.
Wait, when you mean you figured it out, in my head I'm thinking, oh, we should be shooting this.
Like, basically, we were able to approach it a little differently because, you know, with 6v6 in quick play, it's very case by case in terms of what type of style you're doing. Either you're doing capture the flag, you're doing move the payload, stuff. Like, so
right.
It's not as much of an exact science, whereas elimination, it's basically take out the other three people. So you just got to make sure your comp is good and y'all are communicating. Yeah. And so we had a blast, though. It was a lot of fun. And I would definitely do that again. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what we've been playing. So that's record time for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So for all our listeners, we're going to have a giveaway eventually. Stay tuned for details very soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now, before we go any further, we're going to have a word from our sponsors.
SpaceX, because they launched their rocket and it's going into space. And
yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Elon Musk, sponsor us, nigga.
There you go.
Hey, fam. Have you been enjoying this episode of Press X to Start? Want to make sure you keep getting the best laughs, latest news, and most fire takes? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. Then tell three people about the podcast. Could be friends, strangers, loved ones, or hated ones. Every little bit counts. And after you're done with that, please follow us on Facebook at PressX2Start, Instagram at PressX2Start, Twitter at PressX2S, and YouTube at PressX2StartTV. And if you're done with all this, well done. Many thanks. You're one of the good ones.
And we're back. And now it's time for the Quick Hits.
Number one. This is actually a three-parter. So these are the free games for June. First up is for the PlayStation. I have PlayStation 5 because that's how much this is rattling around in my brain. It's more so for the PlayStation 4.
Wow, you in the future. So did Trump lose?
We have robots now, guys. It's really bad. All right. Number one, we have Call of Duty World War II. So this was actually the Sledgehammer? No, not Sledgehammer. Whatever. This is the third studio of Activision. Is that Treyarch?
That made World War II?
No. I think that's the third studio.
Regardless. Because, go ahead, I'll look it up.
So, that's out now, and Star Wars Battlefront 2 is out now.
Man, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I mean,
I just can't help but think about Sean's meme that he put in the Slack about they were like PS Plus members were mad about like last month's games being too similar and Sony was just like,
I'll fucking do it again.
Oh god. This was made by Sledgehammer Games.
Is Sledgehammer? Okay, yeah. So I actually really, really liked that Call of Duty game. Mm-hmm. And, like, so if you haven't played it, it's a good time to pick it up. It's free. Enjoy it.
You were playing that a lot.
Yeah, the first shotgun you get in that game is so great, and it feels so wonderful to put people down with it. Number two, actually part B. This is the Xbox Games for Gold for June. We have Destroy All Humans coming June 1st through June 15th. We have... Oh, actually, that's for Xbox One and Xbox 360. We have Shantae and the Pirate's Curse, which is June 1st through June 30th for Xbox One.
I always wanted to play one of those.
Yeah. We have, what's it, Sin Mora?
Yeah.
Sin Mora?
I played one of those. That's a side-scrolling shooter, like spaceship-type shooter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And that is June 16th through June 30th on Xbox One and Xbox 360. And then last up, we have Coffee Talk, which is from June 16th through July 15th.
What the fuck is that?
Oh, I've heard about that.
So Coffee Talk, yeah, it's like a, you build a drink.
It's
And you're basically like a
bartender. It's kind of like Undertale.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
It's in the same sort of vein as Undertale, that type of...
It says it's a visual novel made by an Indonesian indie company.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I heard it was actually really good, though. But,
Okay.
Okay, so... and... part Z. These are the free games you get for Stadia.
Shut up, DJ. Did you sign up for the goddamn trial yet?
Not yet. I was playing Gundam. I'm gonna do it. I got at least 12 hours before it.
You got 2 days. You too, Marcus.
All right.
Oh, it's 2 days. Oh, great. That's 24 hours. I could do it.
Did you?
All right. First up.
Did you just say 2 days is 24 hours?
Well, you have to sleep
just let
too.
Just let him have it. Just let him have it.
All right. First up is Get Packed, which is actually a game that I was interested in when I first saw it. And. It is... I'm not even going down that rabbit hole. Anyways.
Hey, yo. I'm glad I didn't buy this shit, because it came out like 2-3 weeks ago. I think we talked about it.
We did.
Yeah,
and,
we did.
And now they're giving it away free for Stadia Pro people. Goddamn patience works.
number two, we have Little Nightmares. Yeah, there's that. Number three, we have Power Rangers Battle for the Grid.
Yo, so they said this is actually a good game.
Yeah, it's so crazy that like I feel like... I went from seeing this game once to, like, seeing it everywhere. Mm-hmm.
So
maybe it could just be all the ads that I see, but it's just, like...
What the apparently, fuck? It's on all systems.
Yeah.
But when I say all systems, I mean PlayStation, Xbox, PC, and Switch, and now Stadia. And it is the first game to have cross-platform play for all five systems.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty impressive.
Yeah. Huh. Go Power Rangers.
You should give them... That was better than my job. Congratulations. Next up, we have Super Hot, which is the game everyone knows, which is cool.
I ain't down with it. I don't like it.
You don't like it? Mm-mm. I played it once. I played it after all the hype, and it was.
And you didn't like it either.
Fine. It was okay. It wasn't terrible. I didn't throw it away. I didn't delete it. Did I delete it?
He deleted it.
But it wasn't for that reason. And then last up is Panzer Dragoon.
Ooh.
So, there's that. So, if you have a Stadia and your name is not Sean, make sure you grab these games. All right, number two. This comes from the PlayStation blog. So, by the time you hear this podcast, this news story
will be dated.
Will be non-consequential. But I'm going to say it anyways because... You're invited at a first look at the future of gaming on PlayStation 5. So, the digital showcase will run for a bit more than an hour. And for the first time, we'll all be together virtually experiencing the excitement together. Man, I am.
I really hope they don't spend like 5 to 10 minutes like just talking and hyping stuff up. I hope they just like jump into it after like a minute or two.
Yeah. Like I said... I'm holding out hope that it's just another 2006 PlayStation experience or a 2016 or the infamous Sony E3 where they just basically plop their dick out on the screen and were like, look at it. Witness me.
So there's been a lot of speculations and like things swirling around about this event, by the way. The event will be streamed on Twitch and YouTube on June 4th, 1 p.m. for Pacific time, pretty much 3 p.m. for Eastern time, which is what we care about. Sorry, everyone else, but, you know, Eastern time is the best time, so whatever. Yeah, so there's been a lot of stuff swirling around about what is going to be shown. They do say it's just going to be the games that's going to be on PS5, but you think they're going to show the console, like... Are they just going to leave it to the games? Is it just going to be exclusive games? Like, there's a lot of stuff.
So. Yeah, I don't think so.
The Call of Duty is going to be revealed.
So, there was actually another rumor that kind of came before this whole announcement about, I think PS5 had like 35 confirmed launch titles or something like that.
Hmm.
And people were kind of like sizing up this list. And then I think...
And all I need is Apex Legends and I'm good at launch.
But I think at one point the list actually came out and I looked at it. I looked at some of the games, but it wasn't like... To me, it wasn't anything consequential.
Mm.
Other than like, I think Horizon 2 was on that list, but I don't know, whatever. It was a rumor, so I decided not to put it into the cast. But anyways, this event is coming up, and everyone's excited. We're excited, and we're going to figure out if we can watch it together.
Yeah.
And record it.
We're going to try.
We'll see. We're going to try.
And by the time this episode comes out, you'll know whether or not we did.
You're not wrong. That's so true. We tried and failed. All right, number 3. This comes from IGN. PS5 price has not been affected by COVID-19. So, talking to BBC Radio 1 Newsbeat, PlayStation CEO Jim Ryan would not confirm a price, but did state that the pandemic had not changed PlayStation's pricing plan. He also believes COVID-19 will not impact distribution of the console. So this is good to hear. Yeah, there's not really much to say other than cool that that's...
Yeah.
Hopefully he's telling the truth. And the thing is, like, we really don't know because we don't know what the price was going to be before COVID hit and
what
the price will be.
Some people speculated that it would be high at launch and then it would drop it like 6 months to a year later, but
yeah. I think another part of this story was that Jim Ryan was saying that whatever the price of the PlayStation is going to be, he wanted to make sure that the consumers believe that it's worth it.
Right.
So in my mind, when someone says that, it's like, oh, maybe the price might be a little higher than we're expecting. But it's the idea of whatever that price is, we have to look at it and value that price as well. What we're getting is totally worth what we're paying for. So,
yep.
I don't know. We'll see. Number 4. This comes from Game Rant. And it's a rumor. Jak and Daxter remake in development for PS5 as a launch title. So a new rumor is making the rounds online claiming that Bluepoint Games is working on a Jak and Daxter trilogy remake or remaster for PS5. This rumor originates from 4chan. Well,
okay. That's a good sign.
So fans should take it with a massive grain of salt, as they should. Even so, there have been legitimate video game leaks from 4chan, so there is always the off chance that the leaker is telling the truth.
I've always been more of a Ratchet and Clank man myself, but I would try Jak and Daxter. I'm not opposed to trying it.
I am the only person in Press X to Start who has never once played Ratchet and Clank.
You missing out. You need to borrow my copy.
I was a Jak and Daxter guy.
Once again, you was a sucker.
Naughty Dog, ho.
I wish we have known these details before developing the podcast.
First off, none of the three of us were here on the first episode.
I would have created the website and had it blow up or something.
I have watched people play Ratchet and Clank, and it seems like a hoot.
I'm saying I got the remaster physical copy. You can borrow it next time
that,
or something.
That's what you should play.
Yeah.
Last of Us is coming out in 2 weeks. No.
You can play Ratchet and Clank. You can beat Ratchet and Clank before that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not playing Persona 5, so.
No.
All right. Number 5. This comes from Gamatsu. Hideo Kojima, Death Stranding was profitable and recouped costs. Profit secured for next title. So, basically, in this interview, Kojima was asked, how did Death Stranding do? Are you guys good? And he mentioned that he...
Yeah, we good, nigga!
They recouped the money that they cost to produce Death Stranding and that they're working on another title. But they also mentioned that he was working on another title that got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple different translations on how it's phrased. One sounds a little more harsh than the other. So basically, he was working on a product, it got canceled, and he's just like, well, yeah, that sucks. So now they're working on something
else. So basically, what he was doing was he was making a video game based around COVID-19, and his team was like, look, man, we let Death Stranding go. We can't let you do this, Kojima, all right? It's getting weird. You gotta stop.
I just wish so I could see how well Death Stranding would have done if it had launched like a month or two ago.
Yep.
Yeah. So here's the thing, right? Well, on top of this, another question was asked about, do you know anything about the recent rumors to acquire the copyrights to Metal Gear Solid and PT? Kojima responded, yeah, that's completely false. We haven't heard anything about that. And he laughs. So that's basically just squashing the rumors about him working with Konami with the for Silent Hill game or...
Are you sure about that?
Remastering Metal Gear Solid.
Are you sure about that?
I don't know. I don't think...
Never take Kojima at his word.
I don't think he would want... Yeah, I know. But I don't think he would want to work on the Metal Gear Solid game. And I don't think he would want to work with Konami. I mean, it's possible that Sony could have bought the rights to the thing and not told him.
I mean, that's true.
But, yeah, whatever. Number six. If you guys heard that, there's a person who is mowing and blowing his lawn at the same time, so.
Mowing and pretty blowing.
Cool. Oh, man, he a freak.
He's going out in public, too. Number six. This comes from Big News Network.
That's how you know it's real.
Apex Legends Summer Circuit to offer $500,000 as a prize pool. Mm. Prize pool for what, you ask? A summer circuit that will extend for 4 months and offer $500,000 prize pool was announced Wednesday for the Apex Legends Global Series. The online competition, which will be broadcasted on EA's Twitch and YouTube channels, is slated to begin June 20th and conclude with September's playoff that will include top ALGS teams from four regions. Europe with the Middle East and Africa, North America with South America, Greater Southern Southeast Asia with Australia and New Zealand, and Japan with Korea. Europe with the Middle East and Africa. Why?
That's one region.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
North America and South America.
Reading is fundamental.
I thought it was like the European region was facing Middle Eastern and Africa regions.
Oh, like an America.
Interesting. Yeah.
No. Yes. So, Sean, you and Avery joining Team America on this?
Unfortunately, I would love to, but they only do the Apex like professional stuff on PC. So,
whack.
So, yeah. Unlike
hate to see it.
Yeah. Unlike Fortnite, where it's open to all, you know, platforms, I believe, last time I checked.
Yeah.
So
I'm competing on my phone
and I still watched you.
Right. All right. Number seven. This comes from VG Charts. Oh, God, that's right. OK. Marvel's Avengers World Table event set for June 24th.
Leave them alone, DJ.
Yo, I saw this trailer. I was like, oh, I literally forgot that you existed.
Marvel's Value Avengers.
Oh, God, man.
We got Avengers at Home, the game.
Right.
They're trying.
All right, so Square Enix announced it will host a Marvel's Avenger War Table digital event on June 24th. The event will feature new trailer, co-op gameplay, story mission gameplay, and more. So if you're interested in that, you know where to be June 24th.
You know, honestly, I am hoping that that game makes a seat crew. Like, I am honestly, even though I've clowned that game before, I am rooting for it on the low. I'm hoping that it actually ends up being good. Because if it's not, we will destroy this game on this podcast.
Didn't they have a similar game way back when? What the hell is that game? Avengers something something?
Mm.
It was on the Xbox.
Then I definitely don't know.
I'm trying to think of what the hell it is. I'll think of it. I'll come back to it.
Okay. All right. Number eight. This comes from Essentially Sports. Huh. Cool. GTA 6 launch year revealed by marketing budget. So this is actually pretty interesting. Take-Two Interactive, the publishing studio behind GTA, recently filed a 10K SEC. I don't know what the hell that means. The filing shows that the company expects to spend a whopping
$89 million
on marketing between the periods of April 1st, 2023 and March 31st, 2024. This is more than double the marketing budget of any other year in the past 5-year period.
Okay, so two things. What I was thinking of was Ultimate Alliance. It's basically going to be Ultimate Alliance, but just Avengers.
Yeah.
Goddamn. GTA 6 marketing budget, $89 million. That's crazy.
And it's all from GTA Online profits.
Between the time of January of this year and February of this year.
Exactly.
But, like, that number is crazy, but it's not really that crazy because if you just look at how big GTA 5 / GTA Online was,
yeah,
they're going to want to make a product that is, or they want to market a product that they think is better than mm-hmm. that to everyone they possibly can. And, like, they have the money to do it because of GTA Online. So it's like,
it says, as of last January 2019, it has made somewhere in the neighborhood of $6
billion. Jesus.
$89 million is like chump change.
It is. It's a fart in the wind.
So I'm wondering how much they spent to develop it. But yeah, it sold over 90 million copies. And this is before, what the hell, Epic just did that giveaway.
Oh, the Unreal stuff?
No, they just gave away GTA 5 for free on the Epic Store.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, I did see that. I've signed up for the Epic Store to get the Unreal Engine, so now I see Epic stuff, which is weird, because I don't ever think of downloading any of that stuff.
Anyway!
Number 9, this comes from GamesRadar. Dead by Daylight Silent Hill is coming in June. Well, partially. Pyramid Head and Shirley Mason?
Yes.
Cheryl.
Also known as Heather, which is a great American name. It's like are both coming to Dead by Daylight as playable characters. The next chapter in the multiplayer horror game will hit PC and consoles on June 16th. And it will let players struggle to survive / kill everyone in a new map based on Silent Hill's Midwick Elementary School.
I don't like it.
Cool. I'm sure Doug is happy for that.
Yep.
All right, number 10. This comes from Kotaku. Pro driver hires gamers to race for him and then gets caught because he's not pro at cheating.
Whack.
But he's white, though. He should be a pro at cheating.
No. His privilege thought he would get away with it.
Ah. You activated my trap.
So, as a BBC report, 27-year-old German driver Daniel Abbott finished third in the latest... You see how I nailed that last name, guys? I've been practicing.
Mm-hmm.
The latest leg of the Formula E's Racing at Home Challenge, organizers. What? What does that even
That's
mean?
That's the name of their organizers, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, interesting. That's a stupid name. Organizers thought he'd finish third until later discovering that he hired a gamer to drive the race for him. Huh. The switch was discovered by ex-F1 driver Stoffel Van Doorn.
Van Doorn.
Dorn. Nailed it. Yes, I nailed it. That's exactly what I said the first time.
Van Dam.
Who finished second in the race and suspected that Abbott, who didn't have his video on, wasn't behind the wheel. Okay, isn't that like offense number one? Like, shouldn't everyone have their video on if they're a pro
that
racer?
That shouldn't have been allowed.
What kind of bullshit is that?
He's like, I'm naked, guys. You don't want to see that.
It's like, yeah, I'm going to compete in Apex, but let me turn my camera off first. And let me turn my audio off
Foolish.
As well. So it turned out to be a gamer whose name is Lorenz Horzing.
Mm-hmm.
Abbott was forced to pay 8,900
pounds.
What is that? Pounds? Mm-hmm. Okay. Was disqualified from the last race and has had all of his points from the series wiped. He since apologized, saying, I did not take it as seriously as I should have. I'm especially sorry about this because I know how much work has gone into this project on the part of Formula E organizations.
I mean,
I'm aware that my offense has a bitter aftertaste, but it was never meant with any bad intention.
I mean, I can't really blame them because no one should be taking this as seriously as they are.
Why not? I mean, if you want to legitimize esports, you kind of have to.
I mean, yeah. I guess.
Yeah. But Marcus, you're part of esports playing Overwatch. You are esports, Marcus.
That fine was about $11,000 in U.S. money.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, their money is still worth more than ours?
Yeah.
Bruh, fuck, we are in the middle of a severe recession. You mean they're...
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about, Marcus. I'm doing well in Animal Crossing, and that's how I value...
You just wait till the coronavirus hits Animal Crossing.
Funny enough, in Animal Crossing, your neighbors can get sick. And when they get sick, they stay in their homes, so they self-quarantine. So Animal Crossing is doing it right, everyone.
Nah, you just wait till that hacker starts infecting Raymond with the coronavirus and starts spreading it through.
Oh, so that's how that But yeah, with that, we're done with the quick hits.
All right, and now on to the heavy hitters. Take it away, Sean.
So... apparently, Sony has mandated all PS4 games submitted for, like, certification must also run on PlayStation 5 starting the 13th of July. So...
That's so weird.
Why?
Because I feel like that's such an arbitrary date. Although, of course, they know what they're playing.
It's arbitrary to us, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Right.
Anything that gets submitted after that fact, they have to... continually like patch their games to make sure that it works with the PlayStation 5. So no, there should be no feature that you can use on the PS4 that cannot be used on the PS5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Xbox Series X doubles down on backward compatibility, breathing life, new life into old games. So allegedly they're gonna up-res old games, I think, to 1080 or 4K and try to get them to run at least 120 frames per second.
So they'll have access to two extra games.
Oh, good.
Oh.
Let me check something real quick. 1 second. Oh, yeah. They're also at HDR.
Oh, okay.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Allegedly. And
I think the same, I don't know, system or group of people that worked on the backwards compatibility from 360 Xbox One is working on the compatibility between Series X and Xbox One.
Mm.
So I guess they're trying to keep that same energy, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So they claim it's going to be the most powerful and compatible next-gen console with thousands of games at launch.
Okay.
They're going to match better than Tinder. We'll see.
They don't even have thousands of games.
So they said they'll be able to... I'm guessing you'll be able to play Xbox 360 games on there, but...
Nah, nigga, they gonna have to go back to Xbox like the first.
They might have to reach back to Windows 95.
Exactly.
Who actually goes that far back to play
someone
old games? I mean, I suppose. Not me. I suppose.
I'm just not built that way. Like, I think the only game that I've actually played and beat to completion was Dragon's Dogma. That I've like played it before, come back years later and played it again, and I don't think I will do that again.
The only game worth playing from way back when is Parasite Eve. And my boy Roy, a.k.a. Schrodinger's Gatto, is actually playing that in my honor. I don't know if he completed it yet, but he was playing it a while ago.
Okay. Sean, that's the only way that you're going to be able to play Parasite Eve.
He said that so seriously.
I'll kill you all.
Without a doubt, without a shred of a doubt, the only game that is worth playing is Parasite Eve. Fight me.
Sean, are you that committed to your wife?
Yes.
That's a man right there.
You're right. Wait. How was he supposed to answer that other than yes?
Hey, man. Hey, Sean got a haircut, so he can say whatever.
So now, go ahead.
All right, so the second thing, so Outriders, guys, there was a stream that gave a look at the gameplay, the loot system. Basically, it just they're doing these streams once a month. which is sort of similar to what Destiny was doing for a while and what Warframe was doing for a very long time, which is good because this allows them to basically consistently pump out information about their game, get people excited who is excited.
No one could.
I mean, DJ, it's only right for clones to do the same things as their predecessors.
So here's the thing, right? I actually sat down and I watched the stream because my mind isn't completely made up about Outriders. Here's another thing. And this actually occurred because I thought about this when I was watching the stream. And then I kind of forgot about it. And then I kind of remembered it now. So I'm going to say it. Although they're not the same, to me, I get the same vibe from Outriders as I get from Godfall. Maybe because they're both like third person, like...
What did I say about clones?
I'm more interested in Godfall than I am Outriders.
Yeah, like, I think... I need more information from Godfall to really, like, compare the two. But from what I've seen of Godfall, it's been, like, okay, hack and slash Dark Souls elements with Warframe aesthetics kind of thing. And I feel like Outriders sort of has the same... It doesn't really have the same Dark Souls... difficulty or whatever, but they do have a couple different things. So I'll just explain a little bit. So in the game Outriders, I'm not going to go into the lore or anything like that, but what they showed, they mainly focused on the class called the Trickster, they showed the Trickster and the Pyromancer. The Trickster, its abilities comes from manipulating time. So it can do things like target a person, teleport behind the person, and then engage with that person, kill them or whatever. The Pyromancer, of course, plays with fire, and they have the ability to shoot like a wall of fire that can like go through cover and hurt people badly. And then there's the third class, which is the rock.
If you smell!
What? The rock person. I don't know. Their powers is rock, and they're like a mid-range tank. So the three classes, what they have so far, the Trickster is a close-range fighter, the Pyromancer is a long-range fighter, and then the Earth class is like the mid-range fighter. And you get a total of 8 powers per class, and you can mix match the powers that you use. You can hold up to 3 classes when you're playing as that character or as that class. The powers work on a cooldown, but the cooldowns are short because the developers, when they looked at the other games like in the same genre, like Diablo, they liked how Diablo played, but they didn't like the fact that the powers that you used were, or actually Destiny is a good comparison. For like the super move that you have in Destiny, it's more of a shoot, bar fills, I use my super move, kills everyone. Then I have to wait for that super move to come back. For Outriders, they wanted this game to be shoot, super move. So it's more so giving you the ability to use your powers any way you want. The one thing that I really, really liked is that when they were focusing on the Trickster, when they were showing the different powers, I was like, oh, this is actually cool. You could probably combo this with that. And then they did that combo, and I was like, okay. And they did another, like, different combo, like, using the powers or whatever. And I was like, oh, that kind of got me. Like, I actually liked it seems like the systems with the super moves are really flexible. Mm-hmm. So it allows you to, like, if you think of, I wonder if I can, for example, for the Trickster, as the thing that I mentioned about, like, targeting a person, teleporting behind that person. Another move the Trickster can do is it's like a temporal blade and it slashes up to 5 people at once. And what it does is it slows down the person, and if they're weak enough, it will kill them.
Oh, I think I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the things that they showed all the time. So that's one move. And another move they have is like creating like a bubble of energy, and anything in that field, something happens to that field, but whatever. So basically, the character teleported in behind the people, slashed all of them to slow them down, and then put the bubble up, and then teleported out, and then was just sniping them because they couldn't move, and they were just like taking damage from being in that bubble. Mm-hmm. So like it was really cool, like how they were mix and matching the things. And I think it's going to be a 3-player game, sort of like Destiny.
Yeah,
but it didn't completely sell me, because mainly because they were just focusing on the gameplay mechanics, which is what I wanted to see. But in terms of the story, like, it was still very, very loose. It gave me vibes of, like, Destiny, where it's, like, the people come to this planet, and this planet has some kind of energy. The energy affects the people, and the quote-unquote Outriders are the people that were affected, but then put in stasis, and they, like, wake up 100 years later, and, like, this energy has affected the planet that they were, like, inhabiting, and so on and so forth. Like, it... I don't know. I kind of actually need more on that department before I'm sold on this game completely. Mm.
You know you are, don't lie.
I don't know. I'm still just waiting. And then, as I said, it did give me Division 2 vibes, because or Gears of War, actually, where like you're like cover and shooting and cover and shooting. But it seemed like you shouldn't rely on the gun. You should be more relying on your powers.
Okay.
So I think the next... live stream, they're going to be focusing on the Pyromancer class. That's going to be next month, so I don't think they gave an actual date. But yeah, that's pretty much Outriders at a glance. If you're interested in anything I said, I would suggest watching their live stream. And then also IGN put up another preview of the game, which gives a more concise summary of the game.
Right.
Because their preview is like 6 minutes long. But yeah, that's pretty much that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now the final heavy hitter. Mm-hmm. So after a tumultuous few months, The Last of Us 2 has finally dropped its direct, basically. A couple days ago, they dropped... Was it yesterday or 2 days ago?
State of Play.
Friday?
Ooh. No, it was Thursday, I believe.
Okay. By this time, it'll be a week old and it'll be 2 weeks to launch.
So... It dropped a 20-minute look to reveal more insight on the gameplay and the world of The Last of Us 2. So, just going to run through a few things here. As you probably already know, the game takes place several years after the events of the first game, and they're now at a peaceful settlement in Jackson, Wyoming that Joel's brother runs. The game will cover multiple seasons and locations. There'll be like the snow-capped mountains of Jackson, mm-hmm. the Pacific Northwest. The kind of enemies or antagonists of the game are broken up into factions. So they have the Washington Liberation Front, which is kind of a militant group in Seattle. They have the Seraphites, which is a group of zealots, and they kind of specialize in stealth combat and camouflage. They will have new infected types called Shamblers, which actually didn't get shown in the preview, but you hear kind of a visual cue off in the background, which is a roar of sorts. So that should be fun. And enemy NPCs are smarter now, and they have dogs, so you can be tracked by scent. So, yeah. Let's see, you have access to horses and boats because the, I don't want to say open world, but kind of the world that you do traverse in this game is more expansive and bigger now because it's Naughty Dog's biggest project yet by a country mile.
Damn, bigger than Uncharted 4?
Oh, way bigger than Uncharted 4,
So just to comment on that last part, because I watched the State of Play, and when they were showing scenes of that, it felt... I think the easiest comparison is, like, it felt very Assassin's Creed. Because, oh, Ellie can climb. Oh, Ellie can swim. Oh, Ellie can climb on this down cable or whatever. But, it felt like something else to me. Now I completely forgot what that comparison was. Mm.
Shaking my
Anyways,
head.
Ellie is a lot more mobile than Joel is. So
She's a 19-year-old girl.
Yeah, so the game allows you or gives you the tools to climb things, to attack yeah. people from above, to yeah. to do all that stuff, to attack people from below, because you can swim up on people and kill them real right. personally.
And real speaking personally. Of, and speaking of her youth, you know, unlike Joel, who is more of a brute force type, Ellie is more agile, so she can dodge and counter better than Joel would have. Mm-hmm. Because of the large scale of the map, there will be more opportunities to utilize not only stealth to avoid combat, but use mm-hmm. the environment around you to assist you with combat.
Yeah.
The scavenging mechanic is coming back as everybody expected, but now you can use parts to customize weapons as opposed to just craft weapons and put them together.
Yeah, which is really cool. And also kind of, I don't know. I mean, we all know what kind of game this is going to be, but I don't know what kind of game this is going to be. Mm. Because when they were showing the actual customization thing, mm-hmm. it's like, that's really cool to have, or that's really cool to, like, you know, put that effort into your weapon or whatever. But this is a game where you might get 5 bullets. So what's the point of putting all this work into this rifle that you might end up only getting 3 bullets for?
Well, we'll see. We'll see, DJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
You make those 5 bullets count. That's what right, you do.
Right, exactly. Like, you know, instead of having to go in with your limited resources, guns a-blazing normally, maybe you could have 5 incendiary bullets and that could help you in a different way or,
right.
you know.
No. Like, the thing is, like, I'm fine with the scarcity of the ammo. Mm-hmm. What I'm kind of like, okay, well, why would you do this in terms of having a workbench for your guns? Because it's just like, you can put all this effort into your rifle, but, like, you might only find pistol bullets.
Well, I think it's,
so, like, you have this really kitted out rifle, but you don't have any ammo for it. And then you're fighting people, they might be using bow and arrows, or they might be using, like, pistols, and you might get like 2 rifle bullets.
I'm willing to bet because the game is cut into various sections that are ruled by different types of groups, I'm willing to bet that weapon and like gun ammo might be more scarce when you face off against the Seraphs because they're stealthy. Yeah, whereas yeah. When you're going up against the Washington Liberation Front, there actually might be bullets aplenty because they're a military group.
Yeah, that's true. Like, one of the, like, extended gameplay footage, they did show Ellie dealing with the military yeah. group and, like, how the person was fighting them. So, actually, just to comment on the combat, because I'm pretty sure I stated it in the chat, but I'm not sure if I stated it on the podcast. I was sort of a mixed bag when it came to Last of Us 2, because I really wanted to see if they were going to evolve the gameplay, mm-hmm. because I think Last of Us 1 was a great game, but in my mind, I always felt like the shooting wasn't as great as it could be, and the actual melee in combat was fine, mm-hmm. but it wasn't, like, great.
Right.
So, watching this gameplay, they definitely improved the melee combat. The melee combat feels, from what they showed, it almost goes from, like, a third-person shooter to, like, a fighter. Mm-hmm.
Square-up vision.
Yeah, basically. Like, the camera zooms in, and, like you're basically trying to take down this person. You can dodge, you can punch, and, like, I think you can block. I'm not sure. But you can definitely dodge, because, like, Ellie was, like, ducking and weaving, yeah. and, like, trying to, like, get the upper hand on this person, which is dope. And then, like, the shooting, they keep the same, like, circle with the dot in the yeah. middle. And the then, reticle. Like, as you... Yeah, the longer you aim, the smaller the outside circle becomes mm-hmm. to increase your accuracy. And then the bow and arrow is interesting because as much as I would like to use it, I hate when you have to use the reticle with the 3 notches under the dot gauge. To show, like, the drop yeah. off. Yeah, like, I hate that because I don't ever know how to use that shit. So... to me, like, I'm watching the person play, and they're like, they're aiming just a little bit above the person's head. Boom, headshot.
Well, yeah, the whole, like, it's okay. The whole, you know, notches to gauge, like, the drop off rate, which,
yeah,
I guess it can be hard to figure out, but you're gonna figure it out.
Yeah.
And the last thing the last two things I want to bring up. One, as to be expected with Naughty Dog by this point, especially with the amount of TLC that they put into this game, there will be seamless transition between cutscene and gameplay. So, like, they'll kind of move pretty seamlessly to the point where it's almost a little deceiving, which I imagine is going to be just a mainstay in the next gen anyway.
Okay.
And then on top of that, and another story from Inverse, there's a lot of speculation right now that The Last of Us 2 is going to be indebted to a epilogue from the game, but it wasn't so much an epilogue from the game that we got to play, but actually just the script itself. And in 2014, there was a stage production that was put on by Druckmann, Troy Baker, I forget the actress that plays Ellie, but basically they put on a stage production of the entire game full out, and it features this epilogue that was in the script. And the show was called Last of Us One Night Live. And in the epilogue, it is after the events of the game by a little bit. They're already settled in Jackson, Wyoming at the new settlement. And
it's Ashley Johnson.
Ashley Johnson, there you go.
Yeah.
And Joel goes to check up on Ellie and tell her that he's been assigned to watchman duty. And so he's about to head out. And there's a tension between the two of them, as it's implied that she's already knew that Joel was lying when he told her that, you know, basically the iconic end of The Last of Us. And to ease the tension, he gifts her with a guitar.
Yeah.
And then he proceeds to play this Pearl Jam song. And there are some lyrics in it, basically kind of about, if I were to lose you, then I would lose myself. And it kind of contextualizes to Ellie kind of why Joel made the decision that he made. And people are saying that that theme may very well be prevalent in The Last of Us 2. So this is all speculation.
Yeah.
But it does seem, especially with the way that Druckmann has put together the trailers that we've seen, and knowing that the theme of The Last of Us 1 was love and this one is hate, and just the things that we know, it does seem like that could very well be a truthful statement.
Yeah, the very first trailer, I think she said she was going to kill every last one of them.
Yep. So, yeah. I'm not going to say much more because I am also anti-spoiler for this game. We're so close.
Dumbledore kills Snape.
But, take with it what you will or don't.
I actually, before we end, I want to mention two things. One thing is, it's not really a spoiler, it's actually something that I was hoping would happen, and then in the actual reveal they showed that this is a thing. So while you're playing the game, you will get like people helping.
Oh, right, I forgot to bring that up. Yeah.
Yeah, so like you will have like a second person that could like help save your life in certain situations if you're being like overcome by like a person or something. So that's really cool. And
I don't think I'll get to experience that.
Mr. Programmer over here.
What I'll say about that is I do hope, because I love The Last of Us, it is my favorite game, but I'm hoping that with the enhancing to the AI for the enemies, I also hope that means that the AI for your companions that you have briefly throughout the game is also better, because there'll be times when you're playing the original Last of Us and Ellie is just wherever.
Yeah, it's a mess.
So it's a better AI this time around for
companions. She was a child, nigga. Leave her alone. She was a child.
Ellie was about that action.
When we go to review Last of Us 2, we're like, oh, who's your favorite character? Sean's gonna be like, Cloud. I brought Cloud in this game, guys.
Through sheer force of will.
The second thing that I wanted to mention before we head out is in the preview that they show, there is one like interaction that leads into like a kill that happens that I think is going to really stir a lot of pots. Like, I mean, there it's not like a story thing or anything. Basically, Ellie sneaks up on this Asian girl or whatever that's like chilling. And Ellie sneaks up on her and basically asks her, where is this person? And she's like, I don't know, or whatever. And then Ellie's literally about to let her go. And then the girl turns around and tries to, like, stab Ellie. Ellie grabs the knife and, like, basically just, like, slowly, as they're, like, fighting, Ellie clearly has the upper hand because she's standing. So she's, like, slowly, like, aiming the knife back at the girl's throat. Mm. And then, like, shoves it into her throat. And then, like, the girl, like, falls back and, like, bleeding out. Like, and then Ellie's just like, well, that was stupid.
Right.
And it's just like, when I saw it, I was like, oh, shit. This is going to be a game that turns a lot of heads. So that's going to be another thing that I think is going to be really
interesting. I'm going to say this, and then we're going to peace out. If you came into a daggone post-apocalyptic wasteland game about survival and weren't expecting some gore, kick rocks.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah. Oh, no. I think the people who buy the game, they know exactly what right. to expect. I'm just going to find it interesting for the partners and the parents and stuff that happen to be walking by when they see something like that happen. They're like, what the fuck are you playing? What is this?
If you watch The Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, whatever else, and you got a problem with this, look at yourself in the mirror.
Do that anyways, because you need to wash your face.
And wash your hands.
Everyone
and wash your ass.
And wash your hands. And then shower. Well, this has been another episode of the award-winning Press X Start podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting app. Every little bit helps. In case you missed any of this, you can find all the details and more on our website at pressx2start.com. Until next episode, where we'll be discussing the PS5 and why it looks like a hentai love pillow. peace.